Some question?
Yes, a question from Vraja Krishna Prabhu. How can we understand the exalted position of Srila Madhavendra Puri? In Gaura Lila, the seat of devotional service firstly fructified in him. And in Krishna Lila, if he is a Kalpa Vriksha tree, how does it mean that he is a Shantarasa?
Where does it say that? See, when you have a question, you have to give references. So where does it say in Krishna Lila he's a Kalpa Vriksha tree? But that said, look, Srila Guru Maharaj, he would quote this sloka. Barha pidam natabara bapu karne o karne karam bibrad basa kanaka kapisam bhajayantim chamalam randran venur udhaya sudhaya puriyan gopa vrinde brindaranram svapara ramanam pravishad gita kirti. So it's a description of Krishna, Balaram, the cowherd boys, and their daily ritual of singing and dancing, playing their flutes, horns, bugles, as a group make their way to the Vrindavan forest, and they're cowherding. And actually, this, because we say, well, who is seeing this? Is it an omniscient, narrator? Who's describing the scene? Really, it's from the angle of vision of the Braja Gopis, how they see Krishna and everything else. It begins with the barha pidam, means peacock feather. That's adorning the forehead of above the forehead of Krishna, and Narabara means like actor, dancer, how he's got flowers behind his ears, wearing a Vaidyantin forest flower garland with the flute to his lips, stream of nectar is showering in the environment. But in reference to this, and it says, Vrindaranyam Swapara Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti, that the earth, due to the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, is shivering in conjugal ecstasy. That is meaning of Ramanam. So we can't have a stereotypical conception and some arbitrary application of these very high system of analysis given by Rupa Goswami. We read something, heard something, then we think we'll apply that indiscriminately or rigidly to everything. Here, the earth, taken to be, and sometimes taken to be Shantarasa, otherwise, and a feminine aspect, is shivering in conjugal ecstasy. As Srila Gurudev pointed out, parakya bhav, which includes paramourship, but is not limited to that, because it means the sense of another, of the other. It's the predominating sentiment in Vrindavan. So even the cowherd boys have a sense of this when they hear that Gopal may not be one of them, that he's either a god or God himself. Yashoda sense that Krishna is not hers, he belongs to others, is exhibited when she hears rumors that Krishna is not her son, he's the son of someone else, of Vasudeva and Devaki, or other things. So that predominant sentiment, and its churning plunges a greater depth of heart. This is mentioned in the beginning chapters of Chaitanya Charitamritam. Jai Srila Bhaktivinoda Lavadut Maharaj Ki Jai, where it says that take the example of a mother. A mother can imagine, or parents, they can imagine some mishap to their child. It can make them, nothing's actually happening, but by imagining, as they do, even to now in the modern world, of like, we live in a dangerous world, so anything can happen at any moment. They start thinking, what would happen if something happened to their child? And this creates a sort of horror inside them that actually makes them feel more love, more affection, a greater degree of attachment to the child. And nothing's happened. Right? We're so addicted to thinking, cause and effect, this happened. That's okay. That's the physical world. But in the metaphysical world, and what to speak of in the world of love, nothing needs to happen. So that can be the cause of greater intimacy, clinging, love, affection. It can be the cause of so many things. Nothing. Can we conceive of that? So it's meant, and the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes there's a cause for quarrel. Sometimes there's no cause for quarrel or disagreement, or it may lead to that under the auspices of Yoga Maya. Perception. Right? Like Nietzsche said, there are no facts, there are only interpretations. So, Srimati Radharani, sometimes her shadow is on Krishna and she thinks that he's seeing another woman. There's moving in that direction. So then you think, what kind of madness is that? But it shows that in this world, we would think that person, you know, is obsessed. Yes. Obsession must exist, have its original position. Right? This is divine obsession, where her own shadow cast upon Krishna is the cause of feelings of jealousy. But not like the jealousy here. This type of jealousy can be analyzed by Rupa Goswami in terms of a divine sentiment and yielding this type of ecstasy. Rupa Goswami can do all of that. Right? It's not for amateurs or child's play. He's the Bhakti Rasa Acharya. So, what we know about Madhavendra Puri, most critically, it's included in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamritam by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And there, when he's talking about the Bhakti Lata Kalpataru, he's speaking in a metaphorical sense. This tree of divine love. And he's saying, this seed, we should concentrate on what he's saying. And our minds are, well, but why wonder about this? What's given in front of you? And he says, Gora dingye gashkawa. The horse jumps over the trough in search of food, right? Running somewhere else, searching for food. The food is right in front of you. So, cannot emphasize enough, what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving, we should concentrate on that. And not let our minds take us to this place or that. Try and concentrate on what he's saying, what he's giving. His book, he's saying, it's based upon what the notes of Srup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami. Srup Damodars are very brief, concentrated. Raghunath Das, more extensive. He got this from them. So it means they are the experts. We can have faith in that. They are the experts about all of these things. So if they're saying, give your attention to this, you don't have so much time nor inclination, give your full attention to this. So what's there is not random or arbitrary or peripheral or trivial. It's the significant thing. That's how we have to view what's given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the thing that is to be known. Say, well, in another book it says this, another book it says that. Saraswati Thakur says, only Chaitanya Charitamrita is to be taken to the absolute highest sense. Even in comparison, he's speaking in relation to the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We know Kaviraj Goswami is going out of his way to show deference and reverence to Vrindavan Das Thakur, who's, you know, the Vyas of Chaitanya Leela. Sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, Krishna, he's the Sukadev. So you have Vyas in Vrindavan, Sukadev in Krishnadas. Because this point we have to understand, if what you find in Chaitanya Charitamritam was redundant, or sometimes Guru Maharaj will use the word auxiliary, if it was redundant or auxiliary, he would have never made the book. And he makes this clear. He will say, you know, I'm not... And he will say, it would be an offense. Vrindavan Das explained this story in a particular way. We're happy with that. We worship that. But if there's something, and he's suggesting so humbly, so softly, if something was not, then I will present that. Otherwise, he has no interest in establishing himself as an author of Vaishnava literature, repeating the same pastimes that are already known in so many places. So he's the medium for this work that really is going to present something that's not found anywhere else. That's the point. It's a unique contribution. And it's not only unique in the sense of being like distinct or in comparison to others, but it's the most intimate revelation. It's the highest expression of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What's not given anywhere else, or maybe only hinted at, or general direction pointed. Here, explicitly, he's revealing who is Mahaprabhu and what is his internal condition. Radha Bhava Duti Subalita Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Look at those slogans, Anarpita Charim Chirat Korne Avatirna Kalo. What's not been given before, we can say, and in any other book not been given. And Ladini Shakti, Radha Krishna Pranaya, Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rasmad, and Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrishovana Eva. This part, particularly, the very beginning, it's something revolutionary is being presented. So, Madhavendra Puri, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamritam, because we're told that tree of Krishna Prem, really, Mahaprabhu's the trunk, the gardener, he's everything. Because the limb, the principal limbs, you know, Advaita, Nityananda, like that. But Madhavendra Puri described as the seed. And here's what Chaitanya Charitamritam, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is asking us to concentrate upon. Because the book begins in earnest in the Madhya Lila. Right? Chaitanya Bhagavat is describing, its emphasis is on the Adi Lila pastime. We know Mahaprabhu, he has 24 years. Navadvip, Nimai Pandit, huh? Then takes sannyas, and another 24 years. 6 years traveling based in Puri, then the last 18 in Puri, last 12 predominantly indoors in the Gangbira. Right? Rathyatra pastimes, always celebrated, zenith point of separation, then behind closed doors, the Brahma Gita, the madness of Srimati Radharani upon Uddhava Darshan, when Uddhava comes with that message from Krishna. That's indicated. He's churning this over and over and over again, wants to have this experience this type of depth of heart. The absolute depths, and let's remember, depth, height of separation, zenith point. The Chaitanya Bhagavat, its primary focus is before the sannyas of Mahaprabhu. After the sannyas of Mahaprabhu, it almost abruptly ends. At the pastime of Pundarik Vidyaniti being slapped in Puri by Jagannath and Baladev. Then it's amazing. It suddenly ends. It doesn't even seem like an ending, which is also interesting. It's almost as if it's announcing there's more to come. Right? Because this is not a conventional or even an unconventional ending. It just stops. And in many different places, Vrindavan Das is saying, in the future, others will come. It will be expanded more. So how does Chaitanya Charitamritam really begin? The least emphasis is on the Adi Lila pastimes because they've already been dealt with extensively by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So the Adi Lila of the book is up to the point of Mahaprabhu's sannyas, which is in the Madhya Lila. So, and which means we hear from Kaviraj Goswami, he says, really? It's called Shesh Lila, final pastimes. There's Adi Lila, the beginning pastimes, and Shesh Lila, the final pastimes. But this Shesh Lila is divided into two. It has a Madhya, middle section, and Antya, a final section, a conclusion. And that Madhya Lila is like those first 6 years. But it begins Madhya 1, 2, here we hear Madhya 1 summary, Madhya 2, Mahaprabhu's sannyas. So that in Madhya 3, 4, really, well, you can say 3, sannyas. In Madhya 4, on after having taken sannyas, And this again, it's not incidental, it's not a coincidence. On his way to Jagannath Puri, where does Mahaprabhu stop? At Gopinath, right? Remuna, Kirchor Gopinath. That is significant. This is where he stops there and with Nityananda and the few others who are accompanying him. And he tells the story of Kirchor Gopinath as heard from his Gurudev. And who is his Gurudev? Ishwarapuri, the, you know, laudable disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So in telling this story about Kirchor Gopinath, how does it begin but with Madhavendra Puri and Govardhan, Govindukunda, and Gopal? So, and then we start hearing about the glories of Madhavendra Puri. He doesn't make any arrangement for his food. If someone offers something, he takes something. If they don't offer anything, he's oblivious to that. He's always lost in Krishna Nam, Krishna Leela. He requires minimum sustenance from anything in this world to just maintain some form. And that Madhavendra Puri, that very nature of his allows for this pastime with Gopal that we hear. The ladies nearby, a Gopa Balak, a cowherd boy, comes to him and notices he's not taking anything, and he has a pot of milk and says, "Some ladies from the village saw you and they sent me with this." Who are those ladies? What is that? You know, who is this personality? And he's saying, "They, you know, sent me with this pot of milk." Oh, he's taking that. The boy says, "I have cow herding to do. I'll be back later to collect the pot." And we know Madhavendra Puri, later that evening when he is dreaming, he's taking the name of Krishna when he drifts off into the inner world. Personalities like this, their sleep is seva. When he drifts off and is Krishna, and he's not awake in this world, he's awake in the upper world. Gopal appears to him, reveals he's the deity of Krishna's grandson, Vajra. And says, "I'm the one pujari hid me there because of the invaders." And then we know that Madhavendra Puri wakes up, and first of all, he's thinking, "Krishna came to me as that cowherd boy and brought that milk, and I didn't recognize him." But that is a beautiful lament. Even lamentation has its value in Krishna consciousness. Right? To lament in that way can only be the outcome of inner enrichment. And because it's also mentioned, it's like sometimes people think if they do something, they'll get the darshan of Krishna, or they'll perform austerities, or they'll do something for many lifetimes, or whatever it is, and they'll get the darshan of Krishna. And the Mahaprakash pastimes of Nimai Pandit Saraswati Thakur makes this point. Purports that, well, it's there in the, but he's explaining that even having the darshan of Krishna doesn't mean that you will see him. And actually, in an odd way, we can also understand this is true. As we try to, in our own small way, connect others with Krishna, and sometimes they just can't see it. But he says there, and he gives so many examples saying, you know, and not only Krishna, many incarnations, you know, Ravana saw Ramachandra. Did he appreciate it? No. Right? That washerman of Kamsa saw Krishna. And we're told in his case, he had actually performed austerities for many, many, many lifetimes to get this opportunity to see Krishna. But when Krishna was before, he got Krishna darshan, but couldn't recognize who Krishna was. Why? Because he had no devotion. That is always the answer. If you chant, everything about Krishna is like, you could chant the name of Krishna. If there's no devotion, it doesn't matter how much you chant. Whether you chant this much or that much or this way or that way or silently, or if there's no devotion. But I mean, Gurudev could say, you know, love and affection, and there, it means something. Then there won't be appreciation. Krishna can be standing for, it means you're, if you're something is always and only sweet to the extreme, and when you taste it, it tastes bitter, then what happened? There's something wrong with that substance, or there's something wrong with you? Under the advice of Rupa Goswami, we understand, oh, my tongue is afflicted with jaundice, the avidya, ignorance. And so I'm not relishing the sweetness. As I told when we were in Vrindavan, what is it? Keshi Ghat, when it's mentioned, when Krishna put his arm, Keshi was a horse demon, and Krishna puts his arm down his throat, and his arm is like hot iron, and just, it's horrible. A bloody mess. But Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, showing he has a sense of humor. I think in different ways we see Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur has a wonderful sense of humor. So he's talking about, he's ramming his arm down his throat, and he said, although Krishna is sweetness personified, Keshi could not relish that sweetness. He wasn't, he had Krishna, I mean, every part of Krishna is sweet, 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 sweet to the extreme. And he's, to him, it's like iron, hot iron, because he's not appreciating the sweetness of Krishna. When Mother Yasoda is telling, in her own, I mean, Devaki, telling, you know, little Vishnu, Krishna, you know, like, put those two extra arms away right now. And he's saying, no, I mean, Kamsa, she's thinking, Kamsa will come and kill you. First of all, he can't kill him, but motherly affection. See how much better that is. If she was under the influence of Aishwarjagyan, then she could say, that's fine, no problem. Kamsa will come, you're Vishnu, no problem. That's not how she's thinking. Her heart, she's thinking, Kamsa, if he sees the four arms, then he will know and he'll kill the child. And what is Krishna saying? No, when he sees me, he will say, I am sweetness personified. And his mother's going, he will not see that you are sweetness personified. He's going to think you're Vishnu or somebody. So that kind of play gives Krishna some happiness, as opposed to the reverential hymns of the Vedas and all those other good things. So, about appreciating this. So, Madhavendra Puri is saying, like, oh, he's lamenting, he couldn't recognize. But then he realizes what good fortune he has whom he couldn't recognize as Krishna, brought him this milk from these ladies who were concerned about, and then Gopal appears to him in a dream, goes to the forest. They rescue Gopal, who's there, you know, covered. It's very dramatic. He's covered by dirt and leaves, and they're cleaning him off, and he's very heavy. Have to get some big men to carry Gopal. Already the service has begun. The seva has begun. They're carrying, people are hearing. The katha is spreading the glories of the deity, and people are coming forward, and many wonderful things happen. We know Gopal appears again. They do the anakut and all that. It says, you know, after being in that forest for long, my body is just hot. And see how this connection comes. They think, I need you to get sandalwood and camphor. Where does he have to go to get that? Puri. Where will he have to stop on his way? Remuna, Gopinath. So from another, we can explore this from many different points of view, but we can understand, like, Krishna's plan is always to glorify his devotee. So he said, my body's very hot. I mean, really. If we read all these descriptions about Krishna, it says, you know, his lotus feet are more soothing than millions of moons. It's very cool, actually. And he said, it's so hot in here. I need some sandalwood pulp and some camphor. Really? Who owns everything? He's in want of sandalwood and camphor. And he can't just like, what? Even a yogi, right? A yogi, prapti siddhi. A yogi can make it appear from some other place. We're told, and who is it? It's Bilva Mungo, you know, mukti mukulitanjali sevatesman dharmartha kama gataya samaya pratiksha bhakti stoi stiratanaya bhagadisha, I forget the right, Kishora murti, something. But he's saying, mukti, all of these, they're standing with folded palms, ready to fulfill any desire of a devotee, whatever they want. And look what devotion means. It doesn't mean Madhavendra Puri saying, oh, by mystic mukti, siddhi, bring this to Gopal immediately. No, he's excited to do this seva himself. Gopal asked him to do this. Like Saraswati Thakur. And Puri, in his final days, and he's describing something, Guru said, higher kind of thing. And in the midst of that, some of the mat business is coming to him. We need to purchase this, we need to do that. And Guru Maharaj said at first he thought, why are they disturbing Prabhupada with this? You know, at this time. But he saw that happily, it's a happy interruption for Saraswati Thakur. As he's thinking, and he would use this expression, major domo. I don't know, it's like Latin or Spanish. And so one of our Spanish friends can tell us how to say it properly. Maybe it's mayor. Doma means the mistress of the house. So Saraswati Thakur is saying all of the domestic activities of the mat, really, they're Radha Dasyam. It's service to Radharani, because she's responsible for all these things. So gladly, I'm participating in that. And he would also mention, and really, being her delegated representative, he said, all this service, it's my responsibility to see that it gets done. all of it, every last bit of seva is my responsibility. But I cannot do all of this myself. So very mercifully, my Gurudev has expanded the vaibhav of guru, disciples, God brothers, God sisters, seen as the vaibhav of guru thing. So he's very mercifully appeared as so many to come and assist me, to help me do this seva, which I alone really am responsible for. And I remember on the veranda in Calcutta, once in maybe this time of year, many devotees had come from the foreign countries. Gurudev's veranda was full. And he said at one point, and not even very loudly, but like musing to himself, he said, "I see you all as the mercy of Srila Guru Maharaj." He wasn't seeing himself like, "I'm the guru and your disciples," but he's thinking really, "You're all gifts of Srila Guru Maharaj, the mercy of Srila Guru Maharaj." So that order comes to Madhavendra Puri. He's very eager for that. And even though he's very old, and see, why is Krishna asks, he'll have to go all the way to Jagannath Puri to collect the chandan, the sandalwood, and the camphor. But it means he will go through Remuna and have the darshan of Gopinath, which he does. And upon arriving there, he sees how wonderfully they're serving the deity, and they make this one special preparation, kheer, like condensed milk type preparation. They're offering that to Gopinath. And we know he's thinking, "Oh, if I can try that, I can see how they make, and I can offer to Gopal." But on self-examination, he's thinking, "Oh, I see." Because devotees are skeptical about their own position. He said, "In the name of, like, for Gopal, really, I want that cure. I want to enjoy it. But I'm couching it in for Gopal, service to Gopal." And he's ashamed of himself. After the arati, he leaves. At that evening, Gopal appears to the Panda Pujari and says, "I hid one pot of kheer." They offer 12 pots. "I hid one pot in my dhoti, and it's for this Madhavendra Puri. Please find him and give it to him." And he goes searching in the night for this Madhava Puri Maharaj and finds him and says, "Oh, you're so fortunate. Gopinath." His name is Gopinath at that point. "He's stolen kheer for you." Then he becomes known as Kheerchor Gopinath. So, Madhavendra Puri realizes this inconceivable good fortune to the degree we're told, even after the pot is emptied clean of all the contents, he broke the pot and would take a piece of the pot and eat that every day. So the least is honorable to him to the highest and extreme degree. And in, although he's trying to escape the name and the fame of being an exalted devotee, when he arrives in Puri, the word is already spread, but those devotees are happy to, get this service of Gopal by offering the camphor and the sandalwood and government papers and all of that. So Madhavendra Puri, he returns to Remuna, and there again Gopal appears to him in a dream, a third time, and says, "Actually, Gopinath and I are one and the same. So you can give all the sandalwood and the camphor to Gopinath. So this all seems, we can say from one point of view, oh, it's such a sweet story, a sweet pastime. But it's evolving from another point of view. We can say it's evolving toward a particular point. Because as this story is told, then Mahaprabhu turns to Nityananda Prabhu and says, what do you think about his devotion? Now it's getting to like summary. Is there anyone more fortunate than he and more qualified? Mahaprabhu singing the praises of Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda Prabhu reiterating those. And then Kaviraj Goswami says, and from that Madhavendra Puri, on his disappearance bed, in his final days, after a lifetime of this type of unalloyed devotion, at the very end of his life, saying, from his mouth came this sloka, which is the supreme sloka of Rasa Kavya. That's what he says. He compares it to the Kostuba gem that is worn by Krishna. I mean, it's like the supreme jewel of jewels. He's saying that is what this sloka is when it comes to Rasa Kavya, Rasa poetry. And then we think, oh, maybe it will be some very sort of confidential. It's very confidential. But whatever it is we're thinking, then when we hear the sloka, it's deceptively simple. Ayi dina dayadranata he maturanata kudava lakshase hridayam alokakartaram dayam dayal kim karomyaham. Kaviraj Goswami says, this is spoken originally by Srimati Radharani at a separation zenith point. It's being expressed now from the mouth of Madhavendra Puri at the time of his passing. It's appreciated by Mahaprabhu. He's in uncontrollable ecstasy. That's three. He said, and there's not a fourth man who understands this. And then he says, it is like sandalwood. And we're told, go get the sandalwood. He said, it's like sandalwood. He said, and what do we know of sandalwood? When you rub the sandalwood in the grinding stone, very slowly, 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 something comes. And so he says, like the rubbing of the sandalwood, by considering this sloka, slowly, slowly, some of the divine meaning that is essential there, is condensed there, will become manifest. So this is the way that Kaviraj Goswami glorifies Madhavendra Puri, and he's mentioned again in different places. But so we should focus upon that and not get too carried away with our own inept analysis of these divine personalities and situations. If Mahaprabhu was saying the seed of what he came to give was first in Madhavendra Puri, the first sprout is there, and what was voiced from the heart of Srimati Radharani is voiced by Madhavendra Puri at the time of his passing, that's more than enough to focus upon. And we don't want to think of anything that detracts from that conception. Any other question?
How does selfless activity help us to clarify our position and to distinguish mind, intelligence, and soul?
Well, Srila Guru Maharaj, he's mentioned that we have a difficult time distinguishing between the mind, intelligence, and soul. And he said, and ironically, and we're thinking about all these high things, or envisioning ourselves, as I say sometimes, voyeuristically envisioning ourselves as super servitors in the upper domain, when we're having a hard time distinguishing between mind, intelligence, and self, soul. So we look to the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyani Paranyahur Indriyebhya Paramanaha Manasastu Parabudhe Yobudhe Paratastu Sa. Senses, finer, superior to the sense object, mind, the seat of sense experience, intelligence, finer, giving direction to the mind, and the soul, even finer than that. So when we hear the term selfless, really it means in a sense of without ego, trying to minimize the egoistic aspect of things. It's sort of false self without that being factored in. Because the actual self is servitor self. So through service, Das Kori Beton Mori Deho Premadan, was that which is rendered without expectation of remuneration, that sort of selflessness, that will clarify what is genuinely spiritual. What is that? A what? No, I don't think so. Yes, it's the cicadas do, they sound like electrical lines. Yes, but this, it's okay. Now quiet. No, it's not. I've heard that it's squirrels. But it's, I read today, if a bird somehow, or even a squirrel, somehow says Sri Krishna Chaitanya, they're very fortunate. So, in their own way, they're trying. Any other question?
Even when you can recognize your inner enemies using your intelligence, you might...
When you cannot?
Even when you can recognize
your... Oh, you can. Yes. When you can recognize.
Yes. Your inner enemies using your intelligence, you might not be strong enough to overcome them. What to do in such case?
Yes. Our system is to take shelter of Guru and Vaishnav, not to be reliant on our own capacity. Then we're back to being egoistic, saying, I'm a very disciplined person. And so was Vishwamitra Muni. Right? He's doing yoga for 60,000 years. How about that? Like if someone could hold a position for 60 minutes, everybody would be impressed. Or 6 hours. Or 6 days. What about 6 months? 6 years. His case, 60,000 years. And with that, he's accumulating so much power. It's there's a transference. He's becoming empowered. So much so that, like a typical politician, Indra, the king of heaven, and remember, Indra means king, it's a position. They also have names. Anyway, Indra, it's a post, fearful of losing his position, told, he summons the heavenly courtesan, what's her name? Menaka. And she, and Vishwamitra Muni there with his intelligence and his yoga practice, his vows, his vrats, his tapasya, his austerities, his, you know, spiritual strength, his brahmacharya. And she like moves her ankle and goes like, shh, shh. She's wearing ankle bells. And he's like, eyes half closed, you know. And sees now the peripheral vision, the lovely foot and ankle with the ankle bells of the girl. And long story short, they have a daughter named Shakuntalal. Or was that Menaka? Urvashi Menaka? I forget the names right now, but there's an offspring. But what's interesting is that you could say this is like ultimate fail on his part. And you think, after 60,000 years, just give up. But it's actually a story about determination. And he thinks, well, I should try again. He's not deterred by that. But what we can say is, as the sloka says, mukham karuti bachalam pangulanghayate girim yat kripa tamahang vande sri gurun dinataranam. By the mercy of Guru, all things are possible. So that's the proper thing. Yogyata vichari kichu nahi pai. Proper thinking of a devotee is I have no qualifications. I don't have proper intelligence, mental strength, discipline, all these things. But by the grace of Guru and Vaishnav, anything is possible. By their grace, as when Mahaprabhu, we're told Devi Bhav. He wants to dance and appear like in costume as Rukmini and Adya Shakti, all the different divine Devi conceptions, the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya. And the devotees are all excited to hear that. It's like a divine play they're going to have. And he will play Rukmini and others according to the devotional way of seeing Tadbhava, Avanamita, Ritsaroja, Ase, Shutekshita, Pato, Nanunata, Pungsang. So, but he says, but the qualification of the audience members will be that their senses have to be controlled. And we're told, Advaita Charja and Srivas Thakur, they're like, oh, I wanted so much to go. And Mahaprabhu is thinking, what? And they're saying, then I won't be able to attend. You said the audience members, their senses must be under control. So you have Mahavishnu and Narada, Srivas Thakur, they're saying, I don't consider myself in that group. Right? That's how they think. Why is that there if it's not meant to be instructional to us? They think that way. We should be thinking, no, I'm doing pretty good. I see something on the internet where someone says, I've been celibate for the last 6 months. Like that's some sort of an achievement. No, I said, I've been celibate for the last 6 months. Now they're writing a story about it, a book. My 6 months as a celibate, you know. But Advaita Acharya, Mahavishnu, they're saying, oh, I won't be able to go. I don't consider my senses are under control. What does Nimai Pandit say? He's saying, like, then if the two of you can't go, then who can go? The place is going to be empty. But seeing they're unrelenting in this belief, self-deprecation, then they say, Nimai Pandit says, I'm going to give you an exemption, a special dispensation, divine dispensation, a benediction, that during the length of the performance, your senses will be controlled. So you can go. And Advaita charges, what part can I play? Mahaprabhu, whatever part you wish. And he's like, Haridas Thakur is a policeman. It says with a big mustache and like nightstick, telling everybody not to fall asleep, to be awake because Krishna Prem is going to be distributed tonight at the performance. Mother Sachi says to Malini, the wife of Srivas Thakur, she says, looking at Srivas Thakur's playing Narada, and she says, is that your husband? And she said, why, yes, it is. She goes, he looks exactly like Narad Muni, because he is. And then realizing that, like that she, looking at Narada, Mother Sachi like faints in some divine ecstatic condition. What does Haridas say that he, when he is put on patrol, and say, he saw that Vaikuntha was empty. We got to think, oh, how is that possible? It's possible in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. Why is Vaikuntha empty? He's saying because Vaikuntheshwar, he is descended here with all of his associates, like that. And anyway, so many things are there. But when Mahaprabhu he's not merely dressed like Rukmini, he becomes Rukmini. Everyone is seeing Rukmini. They're not seeing Nimai Pandit wearing a sari. It's not like that. They see Rukmini. Sutva gunan bhuvana sundara shanvatantare. Writing that, we're told. How is she writing that? With using her finger as a pen, the tears from her eyes as the ink and the earth as the paper. Anyway, that's another pastime. But my point is that, as I mentioned before, that washerman, he, by his own strength, lifetimes and lifetimes of austerity, he got Krishna darshan. This is the point that's being made. You think, oh, that's the goal. But the point being made there is that, but he couldn't recognize Krishna because he didn't have devotion. So we're not merely seeking, you know, control of the senses, control of the mind and the senses. That does not guarantee appreciation. Our interest is in devotion. And when there's devotion, these things are automatically included. Guru Maharaj says in his Prapanna Jivanamritam, Bhagavat Bhakti Tat Sarvam Iti Utsriji Viderapi Kainkarjam Krishna Padaika Shrayatam Sharanagati. Saying, actually, he said, some people, they say that Sharanagati will get, you know, self-surrender, that will get you to the goal. He said, but what Guru Maharaj is emphasizing and mining from different places, he's saying, no, Sharanagati is the goal. And he used this expression. These other things he said are like post-dated check. Right? You do this and then later you'll realize that. He said, what is Sharanagati? Cash in your hand. That's why it works from beginning, middle, and end. It is the beginning, middle, and end of devotion, is Sharanagati. Surrender. Then you've got something. He said, it's not the means, it is the goal of what you're trying to achieve. But this mysterious thing is there, as Guru Maharaj said, when on that beach walk in Puri, when one man said, so that's how you get Krishna? Yes. Then I am Sharanagata, I am a surrendered soul. If you tell me jump in the ocean, I'm prepared to do that. And Guru Maharaj said, a few of the devotees like, they looked to Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj said, that is the opposite of being a surrendered soul. He said, actual surrendered soul will think, I'm incapable, I'm unqualified, even to the highest expression, Srimati Radharani saying, you know, I feel ashamed that I have this reputation for having devotion to Krishna and the highest sort of devotion to Krishna. As far as I'm concerned, I could not give myself to him fully. She feels like that. How should all the other devotees feel? So Guru Maharaj is saying this negative aspect, which he equates with humility, that therein lies the wealth of the devotee. And that's what Krishna finds irresistible. Is those who actually have devotion, who possess devotion, think they are in want and need, that they are the lowest, the most mean, the most needy. Therefore, Krishna gives himself to them. Not because someone's been controlling their senses for such a long time. Or has, you know, mental discipline. And there are so many like that. When Gurudev met the yogis and Rishikesh, and one yogi's 300 years old, at the end of the talk, give a little donation, goes to the next cave, meets a yogi who's 500 years old. 500-year-old yogi, and comes to understand that Gurudev met the 300-year-old yogi, and the 500-year-old yogi saying, him, he's a boy. He moved in recently. So what's the point? He still had this ego of being superior to someone else. Right, by 200 years. That is a disqualifying, that's repulsive to Krishna. Yadvanchana Sri Lalanacharatapo, the goddess of fortune did austerities in the Tapuvan for lifetimes and couldn't get admission into the Rasalila. Gopyastapak kimacharanyadamusha rupam, lavanyasaram asamordva ananyas rupam, drigbi pibantunusava binavam durapam, ekanta sri. Ekanta something. Kanta Dhamma Sri Aishwarasya. The ladies of Mathura, when they see Krishna and they are appreciating the sweetness, the beauty of Krishna, where do their thoughts turn immediately? To the Brajagopi. Gopyastapa kimachara. What sort of tapa did they do? We don't find them doing all types of asana. They worship Katyayani, they're doing this, and what are they? They gave themselves heart and soul to Krishna. They're complaining. They can't stop talking about Krishna, singing about Krishna, thinking about Krishna. They're seeking, you know, Krishna relief. Everyone else is trying to have a glimpse of Krishna. They're saying, we can't get the image of Krishna out of our minds, driving us crazy. When we hear the breeze go through the bamboo, it sounds like the flute of Krishna. We're running to embrace that. The tamal tree with its dark reminds us of Krishna. The peacock feather. Everything reminds us of Krishna. That's one of the beauties of separation. In separation, in Krishna's presence, it's like... you know, where he's in focus, everything else is blurred. In separation, it's like depth of infinity, that everything is a source of remembrance of Krishna. Those who have that sort of vision, we seek the service of their servants' servants. That's how we come in. We say, that's impossible. That's how you come in connection with that plane, seeking the service of their servants' servants. Not by my individual prowess. Etat sarvam guru bhaktya purusho hanjaso jayet. Through guru bhakti, devotion to the lotus feet of guru, then everything will be jayet, conquered. That's the way. Name Ajita. Ye prayasa jito piyasit taistri lokyam. Krishna's ajita, unconquerable, but he's conquered. The unconquerable is conquered by love and affection. That's what captures Krishna, not anything else. So within that, a child can have love and affection. Anyone is capable of having love and affection toward Krishna. Not everyone is an intellectual, disciplined, this, that, or the other thing. The wives of the Brahmins, the yogic Brahmins, they had not gone to the Gurukula. They don't know all the mantras, the rituals their husbands do. But whereas their husbands could not recognize the opportunity before them presented by the cowherd boys, they denied them, their wives came running with everything they had to offer to Krishna. So heart, bhavagrahi janardan, that's what his interest is. He's a bhav consumer. Hare Krishna.